You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10 o'clock as we look to the Scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone.
All right, good morning. Exodus chapter 7. We're going to pay closer attention to verses 1 through 13, but we're actually going to be kind of jumping around the next couple chapters for a little bit this morning. We've been working our way through this book verse by verse. And to this point, to chapter 6, as we've been going to this, we've seen a clear picture of God in action. We've seen Him work actually lovingly toward His people. We've seen God move as He's been preparing His people. We've seen His mercy and His grace as He's allowed circumstances, as He's allowed difficulties, as He's even allowed pain. I say it's mercy and grace because ultimately in allowing these things to occur in their lives, even these moments of pain, they're not His judgment on them. They're actually Him loving them because He's allowing these things in order to prepare their hearts for freedom, to set them free, to draw them out away from the bondage that they're in, in order that they may ultimately cry out to Him and find life in Him. And then since chapters 2 through 8, we've seen God working specifically in the life of His representative, the man who He will use to deliver His message of deliverance and freedom to the people of God. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen these moment-by-moment encounters that Moses has had with God. God has been preparing Moses' heart, He's been fashioning him into the man that God wants Moses to be. And so now as we arrive here at chapter 7, the stage is set, if you will, for a display of God's power actually in judgment. These verses we're going to look at today are the introduction of God's judgment upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. And these judgments are specifically going to be displayed through his plagues, through the plagues that He will bring to them. Now, I need to say, a number of weeks ago when we started this series, I guess I'm more than a couple months ago now, I said that there were 7. Correction, there are 10 plagues. There is a lot to cover in them, and we're going to cover them in more detail in the weeks to come. But we're going to touch on just a few today as we look at this passage. Now, each one of them is significant, and so we want to spend adequate amount of time addressing each one of them. But hold on 1 second. I think we are. Oh, we're still recording. Good. We want to spend an adequate amount of time addressing each one of them. We don't want to give them short shrift. But what's going to be evident as we look here today, as a better overall look at all of them, or bulk of them, is what is evident. What God is trying to make clear to us is that Pharaoh sees God working. Pharaoh hears God Word. He sees the power of God's authority in action, His majesty on display. And every time what is repeated over and over again is that Pharaoh hardened his heart, or Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Again and again, it's repeated in the text. Matter of fact, I encourage you today, if you have time, or maybe earlier in this week, look at that text. Look at chapters 7 through chapters 11. Read through it, cursory, look through it, even read it more in depth, and you'll see over and over again that refrain that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It's some 14 times. I highlighted them and looked at them yesterday afternoon. So 14 times over 5 chapters, what's told to us clearly is that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to listen. He's not sorry for his wrongs. He's not willing to change. He refuses to obey. He refuses to acknowledge God's rule and reign over him. So the text makes it clear that because his heart was hardened. And so what we're going to focus on today is a little bit of Pharaoh's story, which is going to show us what a human heart actually looks like towards God, apart from God. I want to say that again because I think it's really important. Pharaoh's heart is a picture of the human heart. Pharaoh's heart is essentially our hearts before grace. It's his actions and his reactions to the Word of God shows us what the human heart looks like toward God, apart from God. Now, there's some unique aspects to Pharaoh's story, particularly the aspect where God himself is hardening Pharaoh's heart. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. But what we're going to see is what a hard heart looks like. And I have to say that a believer, there is nothing more dangerous, nothing more devastating than a hard heart. Because a hard heart keeps you from God and makes you God's enemy. Now, before we look at what a hard heart looks like, we need to wrestle with that idea, the terminology, what the Bible means when it talks about a heart. Terms used throughout the Bible, but when you and I think of a heart, we think of two different things. One of two different things. We either think that the heart is, in fact, that fleshy organ in our chest, so we get an image of that. Or, more important, more specifically, when we think of a heart, the heart, we think of emotions. We think of that thing that drives us to either love or hate. But here's the deal. When the Bible talks about a heart, it's not talking as limited as that. It's talking about something much, much more deeper. See, the Bible speaks about the heart. He's talking about the very core of who you are. The very center of who you are. That means it includes not only your emotions, but it includes your thoughts and your decisions, your passions, your desires. See, the heart, according to the Bible, is the essence of more than your emotion. It's the command center of who you are. Proverbs 4:23 gives us a word of warning that we should take into our hearts as it addresses our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance." That is, to protect it, to guard your heart. And why do we need to protect or guard our heart? It tells us in the text. It says, Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." See, the heart is the root of your life. It's who you are. And so you understand that when the Bible talks about God's concern for your heart, he's not simply talking about your emotions. He wants the center of your being. He wants the core of who you are, what's inside of you. But if we're going to be honest, that's not what we think about. Like I said, we limit it to those two things, but it's not how we live our lives even. We're concerned with so much that is outside of our heart. We want to deal with those things first and foremost. Because what we believe deep down in us is that if we can change the things that are outside of us, if we can change the circumstances, we believe that that's what would make us whole, if that's what would make us alive, that's what would give us a heart filled with joy. The first thing we think that we must do is change those things outside of our heart. But, you know, the truth is, what all circumstances do is it reveals what's in our heart. Paul Tripp talks about it. Remember that? He says, we squeeze the bottle. What comes out of the bottle? Water. Why does water come out of the bottle? Because water was in the bottle. All circumstances do is reveals your heart. It doesn't change your heart. And I know that resonates with us, but I still say we don't believe it. Or at least we don't live like we believe it. Because we want to change the few things outside of us first. And then things would be better because we change those things outside of us. Because our circumstances change, we believe that we will change. If the people around us could change, therefore we would change. So in other words, we think like this. You think, if our spouse was different, if our spouse had less demands on us, then I would not be a complainer. If my car ran a little better, I would be more thankful. If I had a different job, I would have more joy that I could sing about. Or if I made more money, I would be more giving. I'd be more generous. In other words, my heart would be more generous if things change. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that all circumstances do is it just reveals your heart. The Bible says the answer to your problems is not the circumstances or the people change. The Bible says your heart has to change first. And God's more concerned with your heart. He doesn't want to just shape your emotions. He's not negotiating with part of you. He wants all of you. So he gets to the heart and what flows out of the heart. So this is really important because what we have to understand is with Pharaoh's heart is hardened, Pharaoh is a lot like us. I said the people of Israel are a lot like us, but in reality, Pharaoh's a lot like us because at the center of Pharaoh is at the center of every man and woman, every fallen man and woman. That is, that our hearts are corrupt towards God. Left to our own devices, by our nature, our hearts are corrupt toward God. The center of who we are, that is, doesn't want God. If left to ourselves, we want nothing to do with God. We will not listen to God. We, by nature, refuse to obey God. By our nature, we would never choose to listen to God. We said this in Ephesians. We read this as we studied Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. And you are dead in your trespasses and sins, which you once walked, following the course of this word, following the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived. It's passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and mind. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We're all without excuse. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together we have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Their venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is all of us. That is mankind. That's the condition of our hearts without grace. If left to our own nature, to our own selves, we would run away. We choose our way over God's way every time if left to ourselves. That's the inevitable action that flows out of our hearts. David knows this. Jeff read for us this morning, Psalm 51, the prayer of confession that David has after he has fallen and broken every one of the Ten Commandments. He says in Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He knows that is the condition of who he is. But then in verse 10 he says to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. See, he knows the condition of his heart. He knows the trouble that is in his own heart, but he has no ability to fix it. He has nothing in himself to change his heart. And so he prays to God that God would do his work. And this is what Jeremiah tells us too. Jeremiah says, it's clearer than I could ever describe it, 17:9, Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things. You hear that? Don't miss it. The heart is more deceitful than anything else. And desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jeremiah says. So Scripture makes it abundantly clear that our hearts are sick and deceitful. And then we desperately need God's grace. We need God's mercy. We need His power over us and over our very own hearts in order for us to understand the condition of our hearts. That we'll no longer harden our hearts to His ways and His word and His authority over us. God shows His power, His authority through His word. And so we're going to ask Him to speak to us through His word. And then we'll pray after we read it. So hear now the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. And your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you. And your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of this land, out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Let's continue reading through verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. And then Pharaoh summoned wise men and sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up all their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. That's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the power and the authority contained in it to change hardened hearts, to reveal to us the condition of our own hearts. Father, we agree with David that we pray, create in us a clean heart. We know the condition of our hearts. So, Father, we pray that the power and the authority that flows from your word go out to your people today to transform us, to shape and fashion us into your likeness. I pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, before we get to the nuts and bolts of the text, there's a couple comments I want to make here at the outset about this text. I just want to say that I love the verses 6 through 10 here. This is not directly related to the sermon, but I just love what we see here in verses 6 and 10, that Aaron and Moses, or Moses and Aaron, did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. I love that now because where we have been. I love because we have studied to this point in chapter 6. We've seen quibbles. We've seen questions. We've seen lots of confusion in Moses' heart. But now they did just as the Lord commanded them. Twice we see it. We see real faith in action here. We see, especially in light of the fact that he was struggling so much just a chapter ago. He was struggling whether God had chosen the right man to do his work. And now we see both Moses and Aaron stepping out in faith over and over, doing what God called them to do regardless of all of these plagues and the response they get from Pharaoh. We just see them stepping forward and answering that call. So I love that. And I gotta say I love verse 1, how this opens. You see, God declared to Moses that I've made you like God to Pharaoh. And your brother Aaron shall be a prophet. So this is, again, a clear display of God's power and his grace. The text tells us that Moses is 80 years old and Aaron is 83 years old. And they're outsiders. They are from Midian. They're poor shepherds and they're leading a bunch of slaves. And Moses now stands before Pharaoh, and by God's sovereign power, he has made what is weak and frail like God to Pharaoh. And this is how God always works. In his grace, he chooses his representatives, the weak and the outsider, to speak for him, the sovereign of the universe, with all the authority and power of God. He speaks, and God says that he has made Moses like God. Now, he didn't make him God. He isn't God. He, as his representative, though, before Pharaoh, he has a prophet, and he is like God. So that's just in the side comment. I love those passages, but that's not related to the heart of the text. The heart of our passage today, what we're going to see in our text, is God declaring who he is, both in word and deed, quite clearly, irrefutable who he is, but yet we see Pharaoh's repeated hard-hearted response. And we're going to consider that idea, Pharaoh's hard-hearted response. Now, when we think of that, what comes to our mind is the three things that we're going to see across the number of chapters here is that, number one, that God, in fact, does harden Pharaoh's heart. This is irrefutable. Matter of fact, it goes all the way back to chapter 4, verse 21, and then it goes forward more than a dozen more times that God is the one, it says emphatically and clearly, that I will harden Pharaoh's heart. That God is the one hardening Pharaoh's heart. And Scripture also tells us, though, that in chapter 8, both in verse 15 and verse 23, quite clearly, that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. He hears God's words. He sees the miracles. He actually hears the wrath of God, or even sees the judgment of God upon Egypt, yet he refuses to listen. And the text tells us that he hardens his own heart. And then there's a third way that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It's somewhat neutral in terminology, but that his, it just simply says that his heart was hard. So the thing that we wrestle with when we hear about this is we try to reconcile this idea in our mind. But yet the two things are absolutely clear in Scripture, that God is sovereign. Throughout Exodus, we've been seeing that He is sovereign. He's in complete control of everything and all that happens. Nothing is outside of His reign and rule. And God is working all things for His purposes. Proverbs 21 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He will." So that's clear. But the other thing that is clear as well in this text and throughout Scripture is that man is responsible for his actions and his choices. Pharaoh's not a puppet. He's not morally neutral. He is not innocent. He has heard the word of God. Pharaoh has seen the working of God, yet he hardens his own heart. And he refuses to submit to him. And Pharaoh's responsible. So the question remains, though, who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Is it God? Or is it Pharaoh? Well, the answer is both. Or yes. Yes. Both are completely true. It's not just one or the other. I think we make a grave error when we try to limit Scripture that way, when we try to pick which is true. See, our responsibility is not to reconcile those two things. Our responsibility is to, by faith, hold on to both of them as true because the Word of God tells us both of them in Scripture. And listen, I know we struggle with that in theological or in abstract concepts, but this isn't the only theological idea that holds those two tensions. There's lots of things we wrestle with as believers that it has tension like that. For instance, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, is, the Bible says, fully God. Not part God. He is fully God. And Jesus, the Christ, is the Son of Man. He is fully man. He is not part man. He is 100% God. And He is 100% man. So, Jeremiah, mathematician, 100 plus 100 equals 100. According to that, that is, it seems difficult for our brains to wrestle with, and it should be. It should be. How about this one? God is one. He is one, but yet He is three distinct persons. The Trinity, we wrestle with as God is one, yes, and God is three distinct persons, yes. Again, there's tensions like this throughout Scripture, and there should be because, listen, we're talking about God. This is the revelation of God. There's mystery here. There's some things we don't know. It wouldn't be faith if we knew all these things. By faith, we hold on to what God has said, what He has revealed. And the Scripture says that, yes, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And yes, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Both are clear and both are indisputable in this text. And by faith, we hold on to the truth there. But what I want to focus on this morning are the times when Pharaoh hardened his own heart. When Pharaoh hardened his heart. Whatever it means that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, we can discuss that and we can debate that. But I want to limit our attention to what a hard heart looks like. The first thing we learn about a hard heart, what it looks like, is it makes us stubborn people. It just makes us simply stubborn people. We see what God's done. We hear His word. We even know what God has told us to do. But we just don't care. We don't care. Our hard heart drives us to not care about what God has said. Hard heart sees what God's done. It leads us some way to resist, to do anything but obey Him. And we see this in Pharaoh's example here as we look through this narrative in the scene in verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle. That's an example of Pharaoh trying to assert himself there. Then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded them. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as he had said. So here we see God speaking the word of God through Moses and Aaron. And Pharaoh hears the command, but he doesn't believe. He sees what God's done. He's done this miracle before them, but his heart leads him to explain it away. It's a magician's trick. Matter of fact, I can perform the same thing. And he calls the magicians and the sorcerers or the wise men, whatever you want to call them, and they perform the same act. We're going to look in that in more detail in the weeks to come. But what we're going to see here is that Pharaoh's heart, it's not a big deal. He hears God's word. He sees what God's doing, and he just doesn't care. His heart leads him. Even as he witnesses what God does in Aaron's staff or serpent, or I think some translations have even as a crocodile, swallowing up theirs, still Pharaoh's heart, it says in verse 13, was hardened and he would not listen to them. We see the same thing, actually, if we read down the text, see the same thing as God unleashes even in the first plague. First few verses down, then the Nile is turned to blood. Now understand what's happening there. That means everything in Egypt is ruined. Because the Nile was the very center of that country. Everything centered around the river. Financially, ecologically, socially, all the water used for cleansing. It wasn't just limited to the Nile. Actually, any water, anywhere, all the vessels, all the pools, all the ponds, everything was turned to blood. And the fish die. And stench is over the entire land. And what do you see Pharaoh do? What does Pharaoh do in response to the mighty hand of God in this moment? The word of God is proclaimed to him. He sees the hand of God in action. And in verse 22, but the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret art. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh turned and went into his heart, and he didn't even take this to heart. You see, he can't take it into his heart because his heart is impenetrable. He stubbornly refuses to admit. Again, and again, and again, evidence of a hard heart is right here. God shows his power, yet Pharaoh remains stubborn. He won't give in. Stubbornness to the word of God, to the workings of God, is a sign of a hard heart. Listen, that's true for us. We know what God has said. We know what's in his word, but our hearts work hard to convince us differently. To find a way to explain to us that's not what God said. So we double down. So listen, we can take Bible verses, we can memorize Bible verses, we can even find Bible verses and post them on our Facebook page. But if we're not obeying, and we're making excuses for why we're not obeying, that's the work of a hard heart. So what happens is, we read a passage like, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And a hard heart says, I'll do that if she submits. Scripture tells us, forgive your brother with an open heart. Forgive your brother. But we will say, I'll do that if he apologizes to me first. We defend our anger at times and just label it as righteous anger. We defend our greed and just as if we just have good taste, so that's why we want more of that. We defend lust and call it just appreciating beauty. See, what the hard heart does is it justifies and finds a way to convince us to not listen to God and to obey God. That's what stubbornness is. We see the stubbornness of a hard heart in response to God's judgment. We see it in the second plague even. Now, Emily's not here today, so I was really loaded for bear, and I wanted her to appreciate this second plague. See, frogs fill the land. I mean, fill the land. Tubs and showers, sinks, your shoes. Imagine going out and everything is filled with frogs. They're stuck to your windows. We have that at home. But these are everywhere. And it creeps Pharaoh out. I mean, you read it in the text. He's grossed out by this. But look at what he says in verses chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to God." Moses said to Pharaoh, "Be pleased to command when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses be left only in the Nile." So Pharaoh says, "Can you pray for me? Can you go to your God and plead for me to take away these frogs?" And Moses asks him, in summary, he basically says, "When do you want me to do that? When should I go and pray for them? When do you want them gone? I'm going to go to God and I'm going to intercede for you, and I'm going to ask God to relent." But do you see what Pharaoh's response is to Moses' asking, "When do you want me to do that?" See chapter 10, verse 8. What's his answer?
Tomorrow.
"I want you to pray tomorrow. Not today." These frogs who he's invaded his land in have squishy frog guts are all over his sandals. And he says, "Tomorrow. Pray to God to get rid of those things tomorrow." You see, this is what a hard heart is doing. A hard heart puts off obedience to God because the pain or the suffering that you're in is better than to submit to God. It's a hard heart does. It thinks it can do, and the other thing is it does, it thinks that we can negotiate with God. The hard heart wants us to lead us to negotiate with God, and we see this in the following plagues. We see this even as the gnats come. I mean, think of these gnats that are in this text in the third plague. Now, if we could have the frogs and the gnats together, there would be something going on there that would be great because it would be this great symbiotic thing. But that's not the way it is. Gnats are there. Magicians try to reproduce it. They can't reproduce it. And then the next one after that are the flies in the fourth plague. And after the flies come, Pharaoh appears to give in. Chapter 8, verse 28. It appears that he has somewhat softened here. So Pharaoh said, "I will let you go and sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you must not go very far away. Plead for me," he says. So you see, when God's word comes to Pharaoh, and God's word tells Pharaoh that he must let the people go, what Pharaoh tries to do in his hardened heart is he tells the people of God, I'm going to tell God that I'm going to let the people go, but they're going to obey me still. They're going to stay close. I'm going to still have control over their actions. Later we're going to read in chapter 10, verse 24, "Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, 'Go serve the Lord, your little ones.'" He's had enough at this point of the plagues. And he says, "Go. Go. Take your little ones with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." You see, this is what the hard heart does. It tries to negotiate with God, with the word of God and the call upon his life. This is rotten fruit of a hard heart. Tries to convince you to set conditions upon God's for obedience. "I will obey to this point. I will obey if this happens." And the reason we do that, the reason Pharaoh's doing that, the reason the hard hearts do this, because they don't trust God. We don't trust God. We believe God is not out for our good and for his glory. We put conditions on him and we hold on to things and we refuse to let God into our lives and we try to negotiate with him. See, a hard heart is content with just partial obedience. Its hard heart is content with partial obedience. And we try to use, this is what happens, is we try to use our obedience in other areas to justify disobedience in another area. So, for example, we will use our time in the Word of God to justify unforgiveness in our own hearts towards others. Spending time in God's Word makes us feel good, so therefore we can still withhold grace and forgiveness to our brothers and sisters. Or we try to justify our greed by saying, if I give more at church, then I can go buy more and spend more. You see, we try to justify our disobedience with moments of obedience. We feel strong emotion in worship where our hearts are inflamed in passion, but yet we can justify by doing that. It gives us justification to be cold towards others outside the church. See, one area of obedience does not give us permission for partial obedience in other areas. But yet, we believe we can because of a hard heart. God is God. He doesn't negotiate with us. And God's after all of you. He's not just after part of you. He's after your heart. And I know we all struggle with different areas. We are all growing, and God is working in His people to sanctify us. We all fail, and we all don't follow God as we ought. So I understand that. We're all in the same boat there. But what I'm saying is, a hard heart doesn't just know it. A hard heart knows that you're falling short, but it works to justify it. It justifies and makes every attempt to convince you that it's okay. So what does this mean for us? What if we hear this morning, we hear the Word of God to us and we say we don't want a hard heart? What if you hear God's Word speaking to your heart this morning? What do we do? What do we do with that? Well, the first thing before we do anything, before we do one thing, we should look at what God's done first. For He has displayed His judgment upon us already. All of His judgment upon us was, all His wrath was poured out upon us through His Son, His very Son, whom He loved from eternity past.